All the songs you love, right here on Nova 103.5. Your life, your music. Gary Strubel on The Business Report.
Welcome back to The Business Report. You're on Nova 103.5. Time now for the lead story. And the lead story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future. And in studio with us this evening, Dr. Frans Cronje, joining us on his sojourn to Namibia to help think about the future. Frans, welcome back. And I'm interested to hear a little bit about, you've been now quite widely quoted, certainly by BizNews, our publishing partners, as having changed your mind a little bit about the future of South Africa. I understand it's a prickly topic, but perhaps you can just give us a sense of why that's such big news.
It's not a prickly topic. I think for 15 years, I was bearish on South Africa's prospects. We made calls in the team that I worked in that we were setting ourselves up for a period of significant economic hardship, that we were unlikely to see the growth materialize that we'd experienced in our first 15 years or decade as a democracy. We made calls that the lights would probably go out because the electricity supply planning and constraints were such. We felt that we would see increased political destabilization. And a very bold call was made in 2012 in writing for the first time in the media, was we felt that on these trends, the ANC and government could lose a future election. That stuff started at the tail end of the Mbeki administration, persisted through the era of Jacob Zuma, and we persisted in those calls even after Mr. Ramaphosa came to power. And we were heavily criticized for it. It wasn't a popular message. No, government didn't appreciate it. I think South Africa's private sector appreciated it even less. And it was a tough era. But we were right. And that is very important, and it goes to credibility. South Africa's youth unemployment rate now well over 50%. Debt levels as a share of GDP more than doubled from the low point ANC took debt to at the end of its first decade in government. You will here be familiar with some of the protest actions in the country, the explosion in Natal recently, a mini one of those going on as we speak on the outskirts of Johannesburg, the lights off as we speak. And we've just been through this really hard period of load shedding where power was off for sort of up to 10 or 11 hours a day. And in the middle of that, partly as a consequence of that, the view is shifting to become more bullish. And clients say, how is this possible? Look around, it's a shambles.
There's some pretty bad stuff happening. Yeah.
There's some pretty bad stuff happening, and that is absolutely true. Dig beneath that into public opinion, and you see a very pronounced shift. South Africa becomes a democracy 25 years ago. Chiefly, you could argue, for the reason that if a point was reached where the country was not well governed to the benefit of all its people, that they would have a recourse to change that. And as things began to deteriorate over the past decade, business leaders, perhaps civil society, international observers, diplomats were hoping that the South African government would, under sufficient pressure, turn to reform, which it hasn't done in the main. And as a consequence, they became very disappointed and very pessimistic on the country and said, the government will never change. So your prospects are very bad. Early on, however, it was possible to identify the nascent indicators that South Africa's people were growing disillusioned with their government and administration. That wasn't rapid at first. We did see escalating levels of protest action and so on, all of which are quite good democratic indicators because they show you an engaged populace that care enough to get out on the streets and protest. What we're starting to see now is that public opinion is turning very, very rapidly. Polls now suggest that the ANC will have a very hard time maintaining its national majority in government. Polls also suggest, have continued to do so, that hasn't changed, that public opinion in South Africa is very moderate and centrist. It's almost centre-right. It's not a country overwhelmed by extremist right or left-wing populist sentiment amongst its people. An extraordinarily good piece of fortune in the sense that it means that the risks of a large-scale social destabilization are somewhat limited still. We're also starting to see now the rise of a new generation of political parties. There's a chap by the name of Herman Mashaba. He was a businessman, a former mayor of Johannesburg. He started an outfit really from the ground up, a political party. It's cracking up to 20% of the vote in formerly staunch ANC wards. What I think has started to happen is on a long lag time, the economic pain and suffering of South African consumers and ordinary people is translating into rapid changes in their voting behavior. If that persists and public opinion remains moderate, there is now a reasonable prospect that over the next decade, coming to power in South Africa's union buildings will be a coalition government. No party will have more than 50% of the vote. A number of these smaller upstarts and a number of smaller, some quite significant, established parties, all of whom are carried by voters who hold mainly pragmatic opinions, will be given a mandate to begin a reform process. So the essence of the analysis then is this, that it is wrong to despair on South Africa because its present government is not moving towards reform. Its people have finally become fed up, and they are going to do it. And they're going to put in power a new administration. There might be a seat for what's left of the ANC at that table. That's quite complicated, but don't dismiss the ANC's role in a future government entirely. There are still avenues back for it. But that new administration will have the capacity to replicate many of the successes that South Africa secured in its first decade in government. And it's therefore a very different argument to the sort of traditional take on whether you should be bullish or bearish on South Africa. I think public opinion has broken and is going to present the country with the reform horizon over the next 10 years that, if it takes complete advantage of, will see us rapidly replicate the very real socioeconomic successes that we at first achieved under ANC rule after 1994. So that's the argument.
I think the only counterpoint that we would potentially make as Namibians watching is that it would seem as if, firstly, local government has effectively ceased to function entirely, and that crime in a very organized and professional way, as well as internal political crime and corruption, is now almost entirely endemic. And that creates situations, much like many South American countries, where it's effectively a civil war between civil society and uncivil society. I suppose that's the trajectory that we look at and say, is it so far gone that it can still change back?
Yes, it can, because we've done it before. Go back to the late 1980s in this part of the world. In South Africa, the government's essentially bankrupt. There's the debt standstill. There's Pierre Verwoerd's speech in 1985 when he essentially said no to reform. The Cold War is on the go. There are conflicts in the frontline states, wars fought by conscripts and young activists, including in this country that you're so very well aware of. The Cold War, as I said, on the go. These apparently insurmountable political chasms. If you'd said, let's say at the peak of the 80s, on South Africa, that within a decade, the last leader of the National Party will become the tourism minister in an ANC government. And you'd said that on a radio platform, perhaps here or there, people would have thought it's very improbable.
But you wouldn't have said it.
If you'd in addition, well, some people did, we can get to them in a moment, but a very small minority. If you'd said that in addition to that, within a decade of coming to power, the South African economy will again be averaging growth rates of around 5% of GDP. It will do so for four consecutive years, so sustained, something that had last happened in the first half of the 1960s. And we will have a budget surplus, which passes for arch fiscal conservatism in Western capitals today. You would have thought this is most improbable. And it was achieved. So we actually are a blueprint of reform ourselves. And it can be done. And there were analysts that made the call. I mean, the very famous scenario planning team at Anglo-American, led by Clem Sunter, they made the same call. They said the high road, low road work that they did. If you're younger, you don't know what I'm talking about, go and Google it. It was a very interesting research study that became very influential in shaping the political evolution of the region. It was done. So it can be done. You are right in one respect, that analysts as a rule around the world have a very poor track record of anticipating political and economic change. I said this at the event last night that launched this Namibia report, where we had some very positive upsides for Namibia too at a difficult time as well. You're not in the trouble South Africa's in. You have your own stresses, very high youth unemployment, debt on the horizon, etc. So analysts, as a rule, have a bad track record on anticipating events. And we understand pretty well, I think, now the reasons why. As a rule, after a crisis that takes you by surprise, the analyst lineup will explain to you why the crisis happened in a very convincing way. And they will do so using data and information and political trends that was in evidence before the crisis happened. What that means is we already have the information to know what's coming next. We just don't know what to do with it. Part of the reason for that is that major political shifts, such as that which I've highlighted for BizNews, is now a plausible result for South Africa. When it starts to change, it comes so fast. There's a Hemingway quote of how two chaps in The Sun Also Rises, a Hemingway a book, talking about bankruptcy, and the one chap says to his friend, how did you go bankrupt? And the friend says, well, first slowly and then very fast. And that is how political systems and economies go through great transitions, faster than analysts can keep up with. So there are always a small band of slightly maverick analysts that, I mean, I suppose some of my supporters and critics might put me and my former colleagues in that sort of camp, who attempt to use the information and the trends we already have to make quite bold long-term calls about their implications. And when you do, that is what Clem and his team did at Anglo. And I've been very much benefited from the fact that Clem was over years very generous in his advice. And we try and follow that type of methodology, which is why, not through hope or fear, but based on hard economic and political trends and a proper understanding of history, I'm able to stand here for you today and say, out of the depths of violence and load shedding and anarchy and criminality that South Africa is making the headlines for, as an independent and a reputation as conservative analyst, I think it's plausible now to begin to anticipate the implications of a South Africa that turns the corner in the next decade at the same trajectory that the country lasted at the end of the 1980s and into the early 1990s.
We certainly look forward to being able to travel down to South Africa and watch the Springboks play whoever and not fear that we'll have to buy a different car to come back with. Dr. Frans Grenier, thank you so much for joining us here on the Business Report.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's this evening's lead story. Dr. Frans Grenier joining us here in studio. And the lead story proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future.
If you missed the Business Report live, but don't want to miss out on some of the most up-to-date economic, financial, business news, and so much more, you can catch up wherever it suits you by visiting the podcast page on nova.com.na.